Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and we're always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, listen, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Word of God tells us He came to be yours. In Luke 19 and 10, the Word of God says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And if you're in that category as you began this day, listen, you can end up in the right category. If you're in the wrong one now, the lost category, you can end up in the saved category by the grace of God. That's how I got there, by the grace of God. That's how everybody else that's there got there. It's by the grace of God. It's by grace through faith that we're saved, friends, not of works. Not of works. Not of works at all. Listen, friend. It is by the grace of God. Well, look, can I say Merry Christmas to all of you that are listening? What a wonderful season that it is. What a wonderful time of the year that isn't even, listen now, even these places that won't let you say Merry Christmas, they know that the Christmas season is that period of time in the year that will either make or break them, decide whether they as a merchant, as a business, ends in the red or in the black. I'm telling you, friend, whether they want to agree the world does or not, anything at all about Jesus, whether they want to recognize Him or reject Him, I want you to know just a few days after we celebrate His birth, there's going to be the beginning of a new year because an old year's come to an end. We're in the A.D. part of this thing, friend. There was a B.C., and you know what that has to do? That has to do with the birth of Christ. Listen, since He came, nothing has ever been the same. And by the way, may I say before Debbie sings, look, when He's born to you, nothing will ever be the same again. Look, Debbie's going to do a song. The title of it is, "There's Life in Bethlehem." And I'll be back to meet you, the good Lord willing, in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Share the simple Christmas message that God has laid on my heart. Oh, look, sir, ma'am, you can receive the greatest gift you've ever known if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. I'll be back in a moment.
The decree went out to the people that they should all be taxed. Joseph went from Galilee, for he was not last. Mary, she was with child, brought her firstborn son. Laid him in a manger, for in the room there was none. There's life. Life in Bethlehem. Get up, go out and tell the world that He's the great I am. There's life, there's life, there's life in Bethlehem. Get up, go out and tell the good news. There's life in
what I'm trying to do today, friend. I'm trying to tell you there is life in Bethlehem. What a joy that is. What a great song that is. Listen, my wife, Debbie, has written some beautiful songs, and none more so than those songs that deal with this time of the year, that deal with the birth of Christ, deal with Christmas. She's written one, and I'll try to do it next week. Mary Held the Hands. It's absolutely beautiful. Mary Held the Hands. But as you might imagine, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, I'm going to read about, about the first 7 verses of this passage, share the message with you that God has laid in my heart from this. And the Word of God says, "And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all the world, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so, and so it was, that while she was there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I'm going to talk to you a little while today, listen, friend, about a message that never grows old. How wonderful it is. I was just thinking when I was reading that passage out of Luke, how many times that today it will be read, how many times in the days past it's been read and preached upon. I even think as a little child, maybe it still runs today, that Peanuts cartoon with, at the end of the program, that's what Schultz had, maybe it was Linus, to read or to quote from the book of Luke, chapter 2. Oh, what an amazing story this is. And it's more than a story. It is the divine record of an event that happened, friend, a little over 2,000 years ago, so that sinners like me and you, sir, ma'am, could be saved, so that we, friend, could be released from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, one day by the grace of God, hallelujah, the presence of sin. I'm going to talk to you a little while about when God became man. I want you to know that phrase right there is phenomenal. I mean to tell you, think about that, when God became man. Isn't that amazing, friend? He who from the beginning had no beginning. He who was the Word in the beginning. He who was God in the beginning. He who became flesh and dwelt among us. That's amazing. Paul said it was so great that he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifest in the flesh. Isn't that remarkable? I'll tell you, it goes beyond understanding, apprehension, comprehension. But, thank God, it doesn't go beyond our proclamation of the truth that God became man. By the way, thank the Lord, there's a man in glory today. This same Jesus, the angel said to the apostles that were standing there on that mount, on Mount Olivet, as Jesus went to heaven, a cloud received him out of their sight. They said, "This same Jesus that you see ascending will also appear again in like man." But I want you to think with me today about when God became man. When God became man, first of all, I want us to think about the situation. According to the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, which are two of my favorite verses of Scripture, the Word of God said, "In the fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Listen, that goes back to the promise God gave to Eve in the garden in verse 15 of chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. I mean to tell you, it covers every other prophecy from that point on down, not only through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, but I'll tell you, friend, it covers it all. Look, when God became man, God promised to send His Son. The situation was such that at the precise moment, at the precise place, at the precise time, bless God, the precise people, for the precise reason, God sent His Son into this world. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing, friend? I'll tell you what, the situation was perfect. All roads, if you will, led to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, the world in its language, the world in its travel, I'm telling you, the world in its religious needs was so poised and so positioned that it was perfect, a perfect time for God to send forth His promised Son, that Redeemer, that Savior, that manifestation of God in the flesh, that embodiment of the Godhead complete in the situation. I'm telling you, I was perfect, and so was the time to look. As for the world, it was a time for all the world to be taxed. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And watch how God controlled this. Watch what God did to put His Son, to position His Son in the place that the prophets of old said that He would be born, like Micah did in 5 and 2. And he said in Bethlehem, Ephrata. You say, why did he specify Ephrata? Well, there's another Bethlehem in the land of Israel. We don't hear that much, but it's the truth. And all the world went to be taxed unto his own city. Now watch this. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David. It was called Bethlehem because he was of the house and of the lineage of David. Oh, I want you to know God was in control. Look, this man by the name of Cyrenius, this man by the name of Caesar Augusta, no doubt thought that they had the world by the tail, if you will. No doubt they thought that they were doing something stupendous and marvelous. But listen to what they were doing. They were just acting upon the moving of God in their heart. They were just acting upon a divine fiat, because according to the determinate will of God, how there was something special to happen that year in Bethlehem. There was something amazing to happen, friend. Listen, that exceeds all time. I'm telling you, talking about a time of infamy. You're talking about a time that marked and changed all other times. Have the birth of Jesus, God Himself manifesting Him in the flesh. Listen, was that? All the world went to be taxed. How a God's Son was to be born. Isn't that amazing? Look, God knew where He needed to be. God knew why He needed to be there. How the Bible said in Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Hey, listen, friend. He was a part. He was a part of Abraham's seed. I mean to tell you, He was to be a Redeemer, but He was also to be a ruler. And therefore, He had to be a part of the seed of David, the Son of David, all that royal seed, and there He was born in the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means, a house of bread. There, that bread of life. There, that living bread that cometh down from God out of heaven, of which when man eats, hey, listen, he'll not hunger again. Oh, it was fitting that the bread of life be born in the house of bread, laid in a manger. Ah, how beautiful this message. How beautiful this old story that's never old. It's always brand new is. There was a situation. I'll tell you, listen, Mary was great with child, but I don't believe like the pageants we see in the plays that are presented that she had a birth the very night that she got there. The Bible says that she was great with child, and it also says while they were there. Oh, it was an arduous trip, no doubt. Nearly 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Rough and rocky terrain. Up and down. I'll tell you, down through the Jordan Rift Valley. Up through the Judean hills. Into that place called Bethlehem. Just about 5 or 6 miles away from that wonderful city, Jerusalem, which God says, I'll choose to place my name. But listen, when they got there, they took with them the scandal. All the situation of the world was ripe. It was ready, but for Mary and Joseph, they were living a scandal. And I know that we look with romantic eyes and thoughts and minds about birthing the Christ child. What a wonderful privilege that would have been. But it didn't come without its challenges. Didn't come without its problems to Mary, that virgin. To Joseph, that man who was willing to take the ridicule, who was willing to stand up for his wife. He was just. Oh, the Bible said that Joseph was a just man. Aren't you glad for that? God just didn't deposit the care of His only begotten Son just to any man. He deposited Him to a man by the name of Joseph. How wonderful that was to look. In this day and hour, sad to say, and I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, sad to say, when a child is created out of wedlock, doesn't seem to be much of a scandal. It may not be on earth, but bless God, God's not changed His mind about it. But look, Mary was with child. And oh, friend, what a scandal it was. Oh, it was unbelievable, yet it is believable. And could you imagine the rumors? Could you imagine the rumors that went around? I mean, Joseph wondered about it before Gabriel came and said, hey, look, Joseph, don't fear to take you and Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine trying to explain that? Although Isaiah prophesied of it, although God told Eve that a long time ago, although Jeremiah said that, look, a marvelous thing's going to happen, a woman's going to encompass a man. It was going to happen by divine intervention. It was going to happen by the power of the Almighty God according to a divine fiat. Oh, listen, there's something about Isaiah's prophecy. There's something about the prophecy and the promise of the Word of God and the God of the world. But sure enough, Mary was just what she claimed to be. Mary was just what Gabriel proclaimed her to be. She was still a virgin. She was still a virgin. Listen, you say, how could that be? Well, Mary said this, look, how can this thing be? To Gabriel, see that I know not a man. Now look, she knew man. I mean, she knew her husband. She knew about men. But what that means is she had never known man physically, never had any intimate relationships with a man. Mary knew that. Hey, God knew that. And Joseph thought he knew that, and he really did. So look, Mary, so how can that thing be? How can it be, seeing that Joseph and I are pure? I'm still a virgin. That's an impossibility. Well, glory, hallelujah. It is with man, but it's not with God. So Gabriel, though Mary asked, Gabriel said, here's how. The power of the Most High God, I'm about to get happy, I shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing that will be born to thee, I shall be called the Son of God. You're going to give Him the name Jesus, like I told Joseph, because He'll save His people from their sins. He's the Deliverer. He is, bless God, I'm the Son of God. And oh, Mary, I want you to know, you can endure the scandal. Now the scene again was Bethlehem. I mean to tell you, friend, look, it was a bustling city. It was busting its seams. The crowd was overflowing. The inn was full. The family was to some degree shamed. They even found no place for Mary and Joseph and the babe. So the stable was it. I'm telling you, could you imagine the sight? Can you imagine the sounds, the stench? I've had the privilege of going to Israel a few times. I've gone to Bethlehem to the Church of the Nativity. I've seen even a place out in the shepherd's field where possibly the birth of Jesus. Hey, listen, can I tell you what? Although I don't know where, neither does any man for sure. Bless God, we know a fact that He was birthed. He was born, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. So it was fitting, as I've already said, that this scene was found to be played out in Bethlehem. Have a look at verse 7, 11 and 12 of the salvation. In verse 7, the Word of God says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, before I bring you good tidings, which shall be to all joy." Now watch this. "For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Thank God. Listen, this was Emmanuel. This was God manifest in the flesh. This was God fleshed out. This was God incarnate. This was God clothed in flesh and bone. A pure blood. A blood. Sinless blood. Atoning blood. A redeeming blood coursed through His veins. And all, friend, listen, that blood that was soon to be shed. Isn't that amazing? I'll get it again. Paul said this in the book of 1 Timothy 3:16. He said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." He said in the book of John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we, listen, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory is the glory of the only begotten Son, only begotten of the Father." Now look at the situation. Look at the scandal. Look at the scene. Look at the salvation, friend. And I want you to finally, quickly, look at the shepherds. I think it rather fitting, don't you, that the angel said to the shepherds out on the Judean hillside, watching their flock by night, they were no doubt, I've been told and I'm made to believe by theologians and scholars, that these shepherds were those men who took care of those flocks of sheep that were to be offered as temple sacrifices. Those were a special breed of flock. Those were a special kind. And don't you think it fitting? Bless God. Hallelujah. That the annunciation of the birth of Jesus Christ was made to a shepherd. Well, that's fitting to me. I mean, to tell you, isn't it the one who knows first off when a lamb is born? That's the shepherd, don't you think? Oh, look, Fred. That night a lamb was born, unlike any other lamb. He was spotless, within and without. He was pure. There was no blemish in Him. Hey, listen. The world looked at Him. They investigated Him. They watched Him. They checked Him out. Look, for 3.5 years He was displayed in the public arena. And yet Jesus asked them, "Which one of you convinceth me or convicteth me of sin?" There were some the night that He had been betrayed, the night before He was crucified, there were some who were false witnesses. But the Bible clearly says that they found no witness against Him. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen. The announcement was made to the shepherds. They were summoned by the angels to go to Bethlehem and see the Savior. Look, and you know what they did when they went seeking? They saw just exactly. I mean, they found just exactly what they were seeking for. Just as they were told, they went seeking that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And you know what they found? They found God manifest, God incarnate. God, listen, friend, come to be with man. And you know when they began to see the baby? They not only were seeking Him when they looked upon that little child, that firstborn, a son of Mary the Virgin, that only begotten Son of God, they were seeing their salvation. Oh, they were seeing their salvation. Can I ask you, sir, ma'am, today, can you see your salvation in that Christ child? Now listen, I know it's awful easy to look at the Christ child wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying there in a manger, but I want you to know he grew up. He grew up. He lived among the sinless. Hey, he died for us substitutionally. Hey, he was borrowed in a buried in a borrowed tomb. And hey, he came out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning. And those who look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But can I ask you, do you see Christ? Can you see him as the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world? Can you see him as the Son of God only begotten? Can you see him as the sinner's substitute? As God laid on him at Calvary, my sin, your sin, and the sin of all the world. Listen, you're seeking something. You're seeking something to satisfy that hole in your heart, that emptiness in your spirit, that longing in your being. And I'll tell you today, friend, it's not something, it's someone. His name is Jesus. Now look, the Holy Spirit of God is bidding you to come and trust Christ. He's bidding you to look in the Word of God. He's bidding you to take and by faith what this undeniable book says, what this record, this divine fiat declares God has proclaimed and preserved. And if you'll do that, you can be saved. Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to be the Savior of all mankind. He died potentially for every man's sin, but He's only actually the Savior for those who trust in Him. Would you do that today? Receive the greatest gift that's ever been offered to man. That's eternal life, and that eternal life is found in God's Son. Take Him today. Trust Him by faith. Go to Him. See what the shepherd saw. See what God wants you to see. And that is your Savior today. Call upon Him. Repent of your sin. By faith receive Him. You'll never be the same. Hey, Merry Christmas to all of you all.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.